Blog Talk Radio.
They'll tell you that you can't make it. That you began life's test with an S pasted to the top of your exam in bright red ink. They'll show you links through studies and statistics, lifetime sentences, force feeding you with both facts and fiction, aimed at predicting the outcome to your destiny as if they can see into your future and as if God created you to fail.
Man up.
Your father, Papa, son. They are shooting at us.
Calling all my brothers, can I get a quick huddle? Time out for a second, need to adjust some trouble. See so many of us on the stumble. No goals, no direction, so affected by the slow, subtle devaluation of our roles. Nobody to teach us, took the papas out the home. Left to learn alone what it means to be a man. So it's easy for the media to carry out their bigger plan. Government assistance, school stats. Only if she fools, she single or she lose dad. And the job stats show she get the job fast. So he gets supported while she carry all the heavy bags. His rail backwards, so our self-esteem sags. And she never will respect the man who confidence lacks. And I don't mean that he good only for talking smack. But daddy handle business and his word is what he
handles. Son, it's time to stand up. We've been ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us. But how long before we go on the offensive instead of reacting? It's time we bring manhood back. We gotta bring manhood back. Man up.
Why you switching, dude? Loosen up them skinny jeans. Call me bigger brother, trust me, I ain't trying to lean. It's just the troubling trend I'm seeing. Every day it's more okay to emulate femininity. And not what's in the DNA or genes. No, this is learned behavior made okay by those who need to see. A family structure be, if man was made to lead. The more we stray from our nature, we will not succeed. Sons and daughters now lack balance. Compensate with male attention, how she now manage. But see, he was never told how to make her feel special, so he treat her like a hoe. And since she was never shown how a real man should protect her heart to keep her legs closed. See, what she had hoped was being open lands a man's heart. But a broken boy is not equipped to play a man's part.
Man, brother, father, papa, son, it's time to stand up. See, we've been ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us. But how long before we go on the offensive instead of reacting? It's time we bring manhood back. We gotta bring manhood back. Man up.
The best kept secret is, no matter what your situation, you are more than a conqueror, and this is only a test. See, you can be anything that your heart desires, moving forward toward the unwritten chapters of your lives. You can make liars with their pants on fire eat their words, curve past the obstacles in your path, and crash directly into success. Head on collisions into happiness. Learning from the mistakes of fathers who are far from the best example, you could trample their crowd of negativity. See, they want your passion to go up in smoke like a chimney, but your will to succeed can still burn relevant. Cooler than peppermint, your anger can cease, avoiding the bellies of the beast you can reach for the stars. As far as your eyes can see, you don't need to be anybody's statistic, so don't miss your chance. You can dance to your own tune. Cats get it twisted like pretzels, thinking they have to accept those passed down generational patterns. The scattered cowards that showered their family tree. You don't have to be that automatically. So don't tell me that you have no role models in your life. Then you had no choice. You always have a voice in the matter. You could be anything under the sun. Even the worst father could stand as an example of what not to become.
Man up.
All right, welcome this evening to the Revolutionary Journal with Brother Ozzy. I appreciate you all coming. press 1 if you want to join the conversation. Press 1 if you're hearing a little bit of echo in the background. Let me know how I'm sounding. I think I have things under control this week, but we know how that goes. Sometimes things happen, so we keep it moving. All right. Well, let's start off with what's going on this week. You know, we have, as usual, we have more of us being killed in the streets, either by hook, by crook, or, you know, by white supremacists or by us. You know, it's still going on, and that's why I played this song that we started off with called Man Up, because it's definitely time to man up, woman up, child up, whatever the case may be. You know, we need to be on a war footing, because it is definitely a war out here going on. And so tonight I'm going to talk about, you know, what's been going on, maybe how to avoid it. I want to touch on survival tactics in the streets, things that we can do to prevent from being a target, from being considered a soft target by these, you know, white supremacists, white extremists, white identity extremists, whatever they want to call themselves. So with that being said, I'm going to start the show. I also want to touch on a little bit during this time period, touch on our people and how we tend to sometimes shoot ourselves in the foot when we're trying to get things going. I'm definitely going to visit that topic a little bit, and we might have to definitely delve into that a little bit more. And don't worry, I'll change the names to keep the so-called innocent safe in their place. And maybe that's where they belong. But sometimes there's no innocence in this thing, and you find yourself either dealing with the guilty or talking to the guilty. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get the show started. So, Sister Stephanie, I see you joining me this evening. Thank you for joining me. Your mic is open. Give me some feedback on what you're hearing from my mic, and we'll jump on the subjects in a minute. Am I sounding okay, sis?
Yeah, you doing? Oh, wait. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, that noise in the background was really a little weird. But it's better now. It's
gone. Oh, okay. Do you still hear noise, or is it gone?
It's gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, sometimes the feds got to try to tap in sometimes, so it happens. But I hope it was just my loud TV in the background and not anything else. But I did turn it down a little bit. So, getting back to the subject at hand. Now, I remember a couple of months ago, there was a homeless man up in New York that was stabbed with a sword or machete or something by some white dude that came from, he either came from Maryland or he came from South Carolina or somewhere. But he was a white guy, and he was determined to kill a black person. And, you know, he succeeded in doing that. And what I don't like about the way that the media portrays this thing, the biased media portrays these things, because, you know, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I know after the young lady, Mia Wilson, was murdered, you know, may she rest in peace, they started putting up pictures of her with this, you know, cell phone case that looked like a gun, like she was holding a gun, trying to portray her in a certain light. And I'm like, you know, y'all probably had 1,000 other pictures of this beautiful black sister that you could have put up, but you chose to put that one up to try to basically drag her through the mud and say that that she deserved to be killed or she was out here thugging in the streets or something. This young lady was catching a train home from a funeral, I believe, when she was attacked. And, you know, if we noticed that they do the same thing to our people when they are out here being the victims. They basically trying to, you know, drag the victims through the mud. We saw what they did with Trayvon Martin. You know, it was all about him having weed in his lungs and, all about, you know, Skittles and him concocting some sort of drink or something. I'm like, the boy was innocent. He was walking home to his parents' house when he was attacked by George Zimmerman. You know, he wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary. All he was doing was being a black kid walking home in his neighborhood. And he got attacked and murdered for it. But, of course, the media tries to turn it around, and they try to put all this stuff out on, you know, Facebook about, you know, showing him, you know, smoking weed or whatever. And I'm like, okay, so what does that have to do with anything? So my thing is, have you noticed that the media does this to our people?
Yes, definitely. It's like if something happens and it's a black victim, the first thing they do is vilify the victim. They can't be an innocent victim of a hate crime. It has to be.
They never call it that.
That's clearly what it is. It's a hate crime.
Yeah, right. You're right. Here at Black Think Tank Radio, we call it what it is.
And two women are waiting for the train, minding their own business, and some white guy stabs one to death simply because she's a black woman. That's a hate crime. That's racism. That's a hate crime. He's not mentally ill. He's not mentally challenged. He's a racist. And he killed. And he murdered. And he maimed. So the sister is still in the hospital.
Right. Right. And I really hope that she gets better. I hope that she survives her injuries and she gets better because they said she was critically injured.
And the guy in New York with the sword, that was a hate crime. He traveled to New York with the express purpose of stabbing a black man. It wasn't his mental illness kicked in or he heard voices. It was a crime. He's a criminal. He's a terrorist. America doesn't like to own up to the fact that it's the hotbed of terrorism. Most Americans don't want to admit this is a terroristic country with a whole bunch of little mini terrorists running around at any day waiting to explode. Let's just put it out there.
That's
you know?
True. That's true. The guy in Florida, and there's been so many that you know we lose track of the names, but we should never forget the names. And I think I'm gonna do a show where all I do is I read off the names of those that have been killed since Trayvon Martin.
Wow.
You know, by white supremacists. If I was going to read the names of all of our brothers and sisters that have passed away, we would be here for 2 weeks at least, if not more. But I'm going to read the ones that have basically been murdered and they've had their deaths swept under the rug. And people don't realize, you know, because people like to always bring up the, well, what about black-on-black crime? And, you know, to me, that's an empty argument. That's an empty argument because my thing is we know about black-on-black crime. Actually, if you're not being racist, you would just call it crime because I usually ask them, well, what about white-on-white crime? Because they kill more people than all of us put together.
Exactly.
So my thing is, you know, when you want to worry about your part of society, then I'll worry about mine. You know, but as far as quote unquote, that's what I have to say, quote unquote, black on black crime. My answer to that is change the narrative in the black community or help to change the narrative in the black community and you'll definitely see less crime because the white supremacist system sets up the, what word am I looking for? They basically set up the system for us to be in positions to kill ourselves. They set up the climate, basically, by basically starving the community of jobs and resources, basically packing us into these projects, as they call them, and then watching it go down. They just watch it go down, you know, and to me, that's with any species. I don't care if you put, you know, lions together. I don't care if you put mice together. I don't care if you put dogs together. If you put those dogs in an enclosed area and you take their resources away, their food away, eventually those dogs are going to turn on each other. And that's the same with any species. And basically that's what's being done to people.
Exactly.
Not just black people, but to people, period. Now,
yep.
When you put people in an area where you starve them of resources, starve them of jobs, starve them of ways to make money, eventually those people are going to turn on each other.
It's survival of the fittest. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has nothing to do with gender, it's survival of the fittest. If you're starving, if you're desperate, you're going to do whatever you have to do. And that might be turning on your neighbors. It's not based on the fact of the color of your skin because, again, like you said, white on white, there's more white on white crime than there is black on black crime if you really want to be specific and technical and look at the data.
Mm-hmm.
There's more of it, but they don't consider it white on white crime. They call it crime. So why
right. Is
it when they talk about crime in the black community, all of a sudden it has to be a black on black thing? Why can't it still just be crime?
Right.
I mean, if I rob you and I'm black and you're black, I'm robbing you for money. I'm not robbing you specifically because of the color of your skin. I think
that's so true.
I think there's a lot of narratives that are being used and being perpetuated by the media, by the community, that's meant to keep us divisive. And if we just took a second to think about how stupid it is, we would stop using those narratives to address our situation. You know, that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah, that's. I mean, like I said, the conditions are created. And then they multiply that by having a a biased justice system where white men and women aren't charged the same as black men and women. So basically, you create the conditions. You basically run the justice system. So you make sure that if a black man gets charged with a misdemeanor, I'm sorry, a white man gets charged with a misdemeanor, a black man will get charged with a felony for that same crime. So as you know, if you know anything about the law, anytime that you're charged with a felony, you lose your rights as a citizen. You know, being charged with a misdemeanor, you can basically go on with your life. You can still vote for the most part. You can still own a gun for the most part, you know, but once you're charged with a felony, it takes those rights away from you. So, you know, the game is to charge, especially young black boys, to charge them with felonies before they turn 18. That stays on your record unless you get it expunged.
It's sad because now a lot of states are letting you expunge a lot of minor charges, but for years, that wasn't the case in states like up north in New York and New Jersey. They didn't let you expunge shit. So now somebody's life is all ruined. They couldn't go to college because you can't get financial aid with a criminal record. And now you're given, it's a real slap in the face that in some states, this legal recreational marijuana and medical marijuana, and in other states, people still getting arrested and their life is being ruined on a marijuana possession charge. That's kind of like American hypocrisy exposed to me, because how could you be like, in one state, oh, it's cool. And not every state, but then we only know the reason why it's legal in some states and not every state is so that white people can make money off of it legally.
Right. And that all ties in on as far as that being in the conditions that I'm saying that are being created, it all ties in on writing the narrative, because we will realize that they can make money off of us coming and going. You know, once you get in the system, whether you're on the so-called criminal side or whether you're on the so-called, you know, citizen side, they can make money off of us. And that's part of what they do.
So I do. Because what, there's a prison in Texas that they do, I don't know, I don't want to say Texas. I know there's a state that all of their customer service calls are done by the prisoners, and the prisoners get 10 cents per call. Meanwhile, if the state had to hire people, they would have to pay them something like $8-$10 an hour for the same job. So it's basically legalized slavery.
That's what it boils down to, legalized slavery. When you get sent to prison and you got to work for one of these big corporations like Bank of America or somebody like that, and you're only getting paid 2 cents an hour, it's legalized slavery. And nobody's going to, deny that that's what it is. Even though they will deny it and they'll say, no, that's not what it is. We know what it is.
And that's the cash cow that keeps on giving, because now they got you doing labor for slave wages, then your family's on the outside having to call you collect, and they're getting ripped off or collect calls $50 for a minute. And it's like, well, it was, the system is set up for a few white people to profit, and on the back of black people, the same as slavery. A few white people to profit on the back of black slaves. Now, we took away the chains and the whip, but the system never changed.
Yeah, taking away those whips and chains, you know, and basically replacing them with another type of slavery. Basically, that's what they do.
Credit. Is credit the new whips and chains?
The new whips and chains?
Debt and credit. That's the new whips and chains, right?
Right.
They gave you credit to always keep you in debt, to always keep you in slave. Wow. They never really changed the system. They just updated it, and people were too asleep to see it. Let's say sleep to see it.
Yeah, they not, you know, my thing is this, the last, another case that went on up here, this was in D.C. where a white store owner was murdered down in Atlanta, Georgia, by a guy who had previous charges. You know, he had been charged before, and it was a black guy that killed him. The store owner, the business owner, was a white guy, and this white guy has been on the news for the last 5 days. They've been talking about his death and the baby and the mom that he left behind. Okay, I get it. It's sad, but my thing is, if we look at the case in Oakland with Nia Wilson and her being murdered by the white identity extremist, it's basically the same thing. This guy was on parole, and he had been stopped by the same BART cops, basically, not the same cops, but the same police department that killed Oscar Grant on the same, you know, train system, the BART system. He had been stopped for jumping on a train without paying. Now, he's on parole. He just got out of jail. How come they didn't take him back to jail and say that he broke his parole? See, they would have did that to a black guy. You know, let me get in trouble, and I'm on parole, and, you know, I jaywalk or something. They sending me back to jail. My thing is, had those cops done what they were supposed to do, that white man wouldn't have been able to kill that beautiful young black sister.
Well, there's another story surfacing that prior to her death, there was a woman with her baby on the BART system, and they felt they were being stalked. And they told the BART manager, and the BART manager did nothing about it. I don't know if that was right after her murder or right prior to her murder, but they're saying that if they would have acted, maybe, I think it was right before her murder, that if they would have acted when that woman said something, that maybe the girl would still be alive. I'm not sure, but that's something that's circulating on Twitter, that, you know, just like they're saying in Central Florida, there's a stalker out there stalking black people to murder them. There's several stalkers. They're saying that it was known that there was a stalker stalking people in California, too.
Yeah, that's why I think they have, you know, that's why I say they have terror cells. They have white terror cells in America, and I think our people really need to be aware of what's going on out here and stop thinking that we live in a quote-unquote post-racial society. You should have got over that in 2016 when the Trumpanzee got in office. You should know that we don't live in a post-racial society. There's no such thing. And
you're right. I think we need to wake up. I mean, for all of that, Rodney King, can we just get along? And Martin Luther King, I had a dream. We still getting the same racial backlash that our ancestors got. And it doesn't have to do with our pants. It doesn't have to do with what we're wearing. It doesn't have to do with how we talk. It doesn't have to do with what type of hair we have on the top of our head, if it's our real hair, if it's our boy hair. It doesn't have to do with what kind of car you're driving. As long as you're black, none of that stuff matters when a racist person wants to test you. Period.
Right. People just aren't understanding how deep it is out here.
I think people don't want to understand to a certain extent, because if they admit to how it really is, then they have to admit their contribution into being complicit to why situations still exist. So it's better not to, it's better to act like you understand or act like you're asleep than to admit that you're complicit in your own enslavement or your own detriment that, you know, if you notice, up until Black Lives Matter came about, you really didn't have too many people calling for black unity since the 60s. So in the 70s, in the 80s, and the 90s, you really had that whole, you need to wake up and understand.
Her call dropped. Her call dropped. Yes, we called it on 646 number. All right, well, we're sorry. We have a little bit of technical difficulties. I see my sister's call dropped for some reason. But hopefully she'll call back in and finish her thoughts. But definitely. what the hell is going on? Hold on. I'm not sure. Why am I off the air?
A Dream Deferred by Langston Hughes. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat? Or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode?
Yeah, because now it's saying, we don't have to watch it again.
Sick and tired.